Good morning. My name is Leah, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Credito Real's second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. Credito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, July 27, 2016. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at 525-5228-9753. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. Today from Credito Real in Mexico City, we have Mr. Angel Romanos, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Chief Financial Officer. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Romanos. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining our second quarter 16 conference call. As expected, 2016 will mark a breaking point for the company. The consolidation of the acquisitions disclosed in the previous quarters represent the main challenge for the company. As of second quarter 16, the net income increased almost 13% compared to the previous year, reaching 375 million pesos. In that sense, the financial margin increased 67% to 1.2 billion pesos during this quarter. This improvement was mostly due to the income generated by the businesses in the United States and Central America. The loan portfolio increased by 50% to reach 22.2 billion pesos. If we exclude the acquisition of Instacredit, the loan portfolio increased 29%, mostly driven by the payroll and used car loans businesses in the United States. This quarter was also marked by the communications efforts made by the company. The biggest challenge in that sense was to provide enough information to all our stakeholders about the effects of the acquisitions that the company performed during the previous quarters. We have emphasized extensively over the efficiency ratio. During this quarter, it reached a peak of 59%. As we have explained during this quarter, this increase is mostly due to the consolidations of Instacredit, Don Carro, and Resuelve. If we isolate the effect of the consolidations, the efficiency ratio would be in the low 40s. We acknowledge that there is still much to be done when it comes to bringing the expenses down. We expect to stabilize the profitability metrics by end of the year and consistently. We expect the ROA to remain according to our guidance of 6 to 8%. Similarly, the ROE would be above 20% by end of the year. Again, when it comes to communication, during the last few weeks, we have been very active as well communicating the challenges that the company faces due to the events involving one of our largest base of customers, the unionized teachers. As of second quarter 16, we have access through our payroll partners to a sales force of over 6,000 persons nationwide to promote every day our payroll products. Being able to manage such a large sales force on a day-to-day is what makes our distributors successful. This is definitely the main competitive advantage of Credito Real in the payroll business. Thanks to this, we are able to be selective over the government agencies where we promote our loans. The selection criteria has been consistently the same. We privilege asset quality. We have been in the payroll business for the last 12 years. During this time, we have been able to cope with all sorts of changes and challenges. These changes have touched all levels of administrative authorities all over the country. Changes and consolidations in our competitors. Changes in the political landscape. In sum, the only thing constant during these years has been our ability to adapt to these changes by providing high-quality products to those typically underserved by traditional financial institutions. We will continue to do so in the future. Regarding the unionized teachers, as of the second quarter of 16, they represent 34% of our total portfolio. Much has been said about the conflict involving the teacher, desire, just as everyone else's in the country, is that the parties involved come to an understanding and reach a solution in the very near future. Out of our 14.1 billion payroll loans, we have 12.8% customers in Oaxaca and 6.3% and 6.1% in Guerrero and Chiapas, respectively. Diversification. We are convinced that the best way to address this, as well as many other challenges, is to adapt ourselves through diversification. As of the second quarter of 16, only 31% of the total origination came from our payroll business. During this time, 28% of our payroll portfolio corresponds to pensioners, and this segment shall continue to be our main driver of growth in the coming years in Crédito Real. Finally, it is worth mentioning the successful issuance on the international markets recently performed by the company. We issued in the past 3 weeks a US$625 million bond at a 7.25% coupon that is due in 2023. It was oversubscribed almost 2 times and was one of the largest issuances in emerging markets. The aim of this issuance is to refinance all of the US dollar denominated liabilities and to improve our debt profile by increasing its average duration from the 2 years to over 4 years. By doing this, we intend to robust the fundamentals of the company to face any external shocks that the country might face in the following years. With this, I want to thank you again, and I will now let Carlos Ochoa provide you with more information about this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for taking part in Crédito Real's quarterly conference call. Regarding loan portfolio, our loan portfolio increased by 50% to reach 22.2 billion at the end of the second quarter, compared to the 14.8 billion recorded at the end of the previous year. The organic growth was approximately 21%, which was driven by the payroll and the used car business. In the inorganic growth, represented 29%, boosted by the consolidation of the AFS and mostly Instacredit. We keep supporting our payroll portfolio growth with pensioners. This quarter represented 28% of total origination. Also, nearly 89% of our new loans came from the three main distributors in which we own equity. Our SME portfolio decreased by almost 9% to end up the quarter with a balance of 1.45 billion. During this quarter, we recovered some of the past due loans of 2015, and this explains the better level of NPLs of this portfolio. The first quarter was less dynamic, and our product has a short-term duration because it attends SMEs working capital needs. Also, the decrease is mainly explained by tightened credit policies, and however, we expect the following quarters to recover the growth in the business line. Our durable good portfolio decreased 14% compared with the second quarter of the previous year, as we have privileged asset quality over growth. In general, we maintain tight credit policies for this business. As we mentioned last quarter, we decided to gradually exit from the traditional durable good business, considering that this industry has become mature and highly competitive. In the group loan business, our operators Contigo and Somos Uno reported a 39% loan portfolio expansion. As we have previously disclosed, our balance sheet only recognizes the funding provided to our partners in which we own equity. The group loan portfolio in our balance sheet reached 253 million pesos, but the loan portfolio of our partners reached above 600 million pesos. Our group loan partners also maintain asset quality, as seen in the 1% NPL reported this quarter. As of the second quarter of this year, our group loan network serves over 180,000 customers. In terms of origination, we posted a 50% growth. Without the Instacredit consolidation, it increased by 26%. Payroll loans origination were 33% higher in the first quarter of 16 compared to the same quarter of last year. The group loan and used cars origination experienced a good growth rate. As Ángel just mentioned, we have made important diversification attempts. Nowadays, SMEs, auto loans, and intercredit represent almost half of the origination of Crédito Real. For the following quarters, we expect to see the diversification efforts in the balance sheet and the profitability of the company as well. Non-performing loan portfolio was 2.3% this quarter, compared to 2.1% ratio last year. The increase in the NPL of the company was mainly caused by the used car business, which reported a 2.4%, which is explained by the expansion in our USA used car business, in which the NPLs are slightly higher than in the Mexico business. Also by the Instacredit consolidation, since they have a higher NPLs, but also these two businesses, they have higher returns. Overall, the NPL is in line with the 2 to 3% long-term objective as we attain larger diversification. Allowance for loan losses for this quarter was $825 million with a 1.6 times coverage ratio. The allowance for loan losses increased in line with the non-performing loans and with the portfolio growth. Interest income. During this quarter, we reached interest income of $1.6 billion, increasing 69% when compared to the second quarter of the previous year. Instacredit contributed to 28% of the consolidated interest income. Actually, approximately one-third of the interest income from Crédito Real is denominated in a foreign currency. Financial margin. The financial margin increased 67% to $1.223 billion, showing interest income growth. Instacredit again contributed to 26% of the consolidated financial margin. Regarding funding, the average funding cost increased from 7% reported on the previous year to 7.6% in the second quarter 16. Instacredit that 32% of the consolidated interest expenses of the second quarter this year. The cost of funds reflects the facility used to acquire the equity participation in Instacredit and the interest expenses from Instacredit that are higher in comparison with the Crédito Real. Since Instacredit now have the support of Crédito Real, we expect to efficient the cost of funds of our subsidiary during the following quarters. Provisions for loan losses reached $208 million this quarter. In terms of cost of risk, this quarter we reported 3.7%, which compared to the 1.6 reported in the second quarter of 2015. The increase of cost of risk is in line with portfolio growth. Year to date, the cost of risk reported at 2.3% for the full year. This metric should be close to the 3%. Administrative expenses. They reached $746 million during the second quarter of 16, showing an increase of almost twice compared to the second quarter of 15. The increase is mainly driven by the consolidation of AFS, Resuelve, Instacredit, and Don Carro expenses. Excluding this recent acquisition, the SG&A would have increased 13% in the second quarter 16, reflecting the strengthening of the distribution network of Condinero, one of our main payroll distributors. Participation in the results of associates reached minus $14 million this quarter compared to the $16 million recorded during the second quarter 16. The effect of Instacredit's earnings offset the effect of earnings in associates recognized under the equity method, resulting in a negative figure in the second quarter of 16. Net income. Net income increased 13% this quarter, reaching $375 million compared to the $333 million in the second quarter. Year to date, the net income increased by 18%, in the middle range with our 2016 guidance. Key financial ratios. During the quarter, we achieved return on assets of 4.7%, and return on equity of 19.1%, which compares with the 6.3% and 22.9% reported in the second quarter of 15. The return on average assets reflects the effect of the assets of our most recent acquisitions, but also reflects the increase of the 1.25 million on the valuation of the mark-to-market of financial derivatives, and finally reflects the intangible assets generated by our latest acquirer. Efficiency ratio. The quarter's efficiency ratio reached 59% compared to 32% in the second quarter of 15, reflecting the consolidation of Instacredit, AFS, Don Carlo and Resuelve expenses, and the network distribution expansion of our subsidiaries. Excluding these acquisition effects, the efficiency ratio would have reached 37%. Our capitalization index reached 37% compared to 40% registered by the end of the second quarter of 15, and this is due to an indebtedness increase to finance our recent acquisition. On different matters, last February we announced the acquisition of 70% stake in Instacredit. It was a key element for loan book expansion this quarter. As mentioned, Instacredit represents today 28% of the consolidated interest income for the quarter. Regarding the business in the United States, AFS started servicing our Don Carlo business. With this synergy, we are boosting the origination and credit analysis processes. In addition, Don Carlo signed an agreement with a well-known mechanical workshop that will allow us to improve the inventory turnover ratios. Moreover, we opened a new branch in Texas to have a total of 5 card branches now. In sum, our platform serves today over 750,000 customers, 42% more than a year ago. Finally, in order to increase visibility among investors and to enrich views through different agencies, Crédito Real commences an initial rating process with Fitch Ratings. Fitch assigned foreign and local currency long-term issuer default ratings of BB+ on a global scale. Fitch also assigned national long and short-term ratings at A+ and F1, respectively, to Crédito Real on a local scale. The long-term rating outlook is stable. Also, HR Ratings increased the default rating to an investment grade from BB+ to BBB-, and the default rating from A+ to AA- on the local long-term notes. With this, I conclude my remarks. And now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you've joined today's call using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press *1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. Our first question today comes from Tito Labarta with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thank you for the call. A couple of questions. I guess first on your net interest margin, you did mention that you can possibly refinance some of your funding at Instacredit and the loan you have there. Just want to get a sense if you can maybe get how much can the cost of funds improve? You know, what will this mean for your overall margin? And what kind of timing would you expect on that? And then my second question in terms of your cost of risk, I think you mentioned we should expect around 3%, but it's been a bit volatile. It was almost 4% this quarter. It was only 1% last quarter. I know you've had the Instacredit acquisition, which kind of created some volatility there. But just want to understand how that's going to evolve a little bit better. Particularly, we saw some good improvement in asset quality this quarter. So that come down, I guess, from what we saw this quarter? If you can maybe just give some more color on how to better forecast the cost of risk. Thank you.
Hi, Tito. Thank you for your questions. Good to hear from you. You know, in terms of the cost of funds of Instacredit, I wouldn't like to speculate about that one. I mean, it's definitely higher than the cost of funds of the local cost of funds here. If you compare the cost of funds in Crédito Real net here, it would be like 6.2. And in addition to the cost of funds of Instacredit, which ranges in the 15, higher 15%, That's what gives us the 7.6% cost of funds for this quarter. We would expect some benefits from that one, but hard to quantify them at this point. But I would say that in terms of the cost of funds and in terms overall of the debt profile, I think that the exercise that we recently did with tapping the international markets a couple of weeks ago, I think that will provide us with a big, big change, not only in terms of the duration, the average duration of the whole liability, but in terms of all the external shocks that we might absorb by having our U.S. dollar denominated debt at a 7-year tenor. So I would say that in cost of funds, we would expect to be more or less in the same range as they are as of this quarter, and basically that would be it in terms of the cost of funds. When it comes to the cost of risk, as you were mentioning, I think that the most important part here is that the asset quality remains the same within the 2 and 3% guidance that we have. If you compare the figures that we have in the previous quarter, that was at 2.7%, if I recall, that was at 2.7% as of the first quarter this year, and nowadays it's at 2.3%. Which is significantly better. In terms of the cost of risk, we would expect to be close to the 3%, to the 3% range. You know, but basically maintaining the same coverage ratio as it was in the previous quarter. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Thanks. That's helpful. Maybe just a couple of follow-ups. But you're saying your cost of funds should stay more or less the same, but then you also, you know, you got the dollar denominated debt, which is a coupon of 7.25. I don't know if there's a cost to hedge that to avoid the currency risk. I know in the past it's been around 3%, so maybe a total cost of funds around 10%. That's still, you know, well below the 15% on Insta Credit. So I mean, maybe the Insta Credit funding costs don't come down to the level of Credit Real at 6%, but can they come down, you know, closer to that 10% range, which would imply some improvement in the cost of funds?
But, you know, one of the advantages of Insta Credit in particular is that they have the ability to fund themselves locally at a higher cost, but locally. So that way they prevent, you know, we would be avoiding the, you know, FX risk or things like that. But we believe that having a company on our side that has the ability to fund locally, it's one of the largest assets of Insta Credit. I mean, we wouldn't expect to see to fund the whole operation with the Credito Real's debt, because they already passed that bar.
Okay, so you'll keep some of the local funding, which is, you know, why you want to.
Actually, that's what we intend to do with all our subsidiaries, that they are all able to fund themselves locally.
Okay, understood. And then on the cost of risk, so given, you know, asset quality did improve this quarter, and you're saying, you know, the cost of risk should be closer to 3%, is that because of the improvement that we saw in asset quality? Because the cost of risk was almost 4% this quarter, so you feel comfortable with asset quality, given, you know, what we saw this quarter, and that's why the cost of risk should come down compared to the second quarter?
You know, traditionally, the cost of risk has been within that range, as you've seen, in the 3 to 4%. It came down this year and the previous year because of the efforts in the collection side of the payroll business. However, with the consolidations of AFS and the U.S. business, the used car business in the States, and as well as the Insta Credit, that should be within the 3 to 4% range. And that's probably remain in the long run. But, you know, again, I think that what is important here is to see the trend that the NPLs are getting right now. You know, they are coming down from the 2.7% that raised a lot of questions during the first quarter. This came down from the 2.4 to the 2.7 to the 2.3%. And they're also very important to mention also the provisioning side that caused a lot of questions as well in the first quarter. You know, what we don't see the dramatic increase in the provisioning, but the way we see it is that we see the trend of a coverage ratio of an overall coverage ratio within the range that it is actually, you know, in the 1.4 and the 1.4 times to 1.6 or something like that.
Okay, and then sorry to harp on it a little bit, but so why did the cost of risk was almost 4% this quarter? Anything in particular? Just trying to get a sense of some of the volatility in there. So was anything specific that made it be a lot higher than the 3% that you're guiding for?
No, actually, it was due to the consolidation. You know, you're consolidating the portfolio in Central America. It has a higher cost of risk than the one we have over here.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Tito.
And we'll take our next question from Ernesto Gablandiano with Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos. My first question is just to confirm if your net income growth guidance for the year is already considering the recent increase of 125 basis points, and what are the measures you have taken to limit the impact? Also, I will appreciate if you can share your sensitivity to further increases in interest rates. Secondly, after consolidating Instacredit, can you guide us on what to expect in terms of your NII growth and net interest margin expansion? And finally, about your fee and other income revenues, can you give us some color on what to expect on those lines after consolidating Instacredit and Resuelve Tu Deuda? Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Thank you for your question. Well, the most important part in terms of the net income, I mean, if you look at the figures, actually, before addressing the net income, probably I should address the other one in terms of the income as a whole and the financial margin in particular. If you look at the increase that we posted, you know, the almost 69% increase in terms of the interest income, and in the 67% that we saw in the financial margin, that's definitely what we expected from the consolidations of this business. That's exactly what we are looking for. I mean, to put it differently, what we were looking for the acquisitions of these companies was mostly to increase the financial margin, and after that to translate this into an increase in the net income. Definitely, we would expect that the net income shall be growing this year according to our guidance of 16 to 20%. We believe that that will be the case. But for the first couple of quarters, you know, it was affected for a couple of things, mostly taxes and the consolidation on the SG&A part of the business. We definitely believe that we are going to reach the guidance by the end of the year in terms of the net income growth. I'm not sure if I addressed this one properly, Ernesto.
Yes, but what about the sensitivity to further increases in interest rates and just again to share with us the measures you have taken to limit the impact from a tightening cycle?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the rate that the financial margin increased on a 67%, we believe that we are comfortable with that, to cope with any external shocks that we might face, either on the cost of funds or in the tightening cycle. On the other hand, one of the good things of having the business especially the business in Central America, is that the cycle over there, the economy is growing at a higher pace than here. I mean, we do not perceive a tightening cycle, a big tightening cycle in the Central American region. So overall, we would say that, as I was telling you, we are able to reach by the end of the year our goal of growth. Also, in terms of the cost of funds, so we are looking at the alternatives, you know, to hedge either to fix the U.S. dollar denominated debt, or we're still trying to decide whether we fix or what are we going to do with the hedging of that one.
Okay, but in the case there is an increase in interest rates in the U.S. What could that be impacting your cost of funding?
Well, right now it wouldn't affect that much because, you know, the issuance is denominated in dollars. It's fixed, denominated in dollars at the coupon. The $625 million issuance is fixed at 7.25% for the next 7 years, the effect. And actually, that's what I was trying to explain, you know. The decision here is going to be what's going to happen with the interest rate here in Mexico, and the decision shall be in that sense, whether we fix the whole thing or whether we fix a proportion of the debt right now.
Okay, perfect. And just a follow-up in terms of the your fee and other income, because I think as a whole, we should see as a whole those lines, because those are more related to fees of Instacredit and Resuelve Tu Deuda. So I just want to know if you can guide us on what to expect on those lines.
I mean, when it comes to Resuelve, the fees, what we are expected in the fees is that we will expect by the end of the year to have an income in the form of fees of Resuelve of around 400 million or 450 million by the end of the year. Other than that, the other income comes from different sources, you know, from, but the most important one continues to be Resuelve, right?
Okay. So for fees, we should see like 400, 450 million pesos. And
yes.
For the case of, in the case of other income, what should we expect?
Probably it's going to be, I don't know, probably another 400 million or something like that. Actually, we do not provide a guidance on that one, but we would expect to be, you know, yeah, probably something in that range of 400 million.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlo. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Ernesto.
And if you'd like to ask a question, you may signal to do so by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes today from David Lee with Lizard Investors. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my question. Can you talk a little bit about on the operating expense, the admin and the promotion expense? Going forward, how should we think about that trending sequentially, or, you know, when does that starting to really normalize versus the consolidation?
Hi, David. Thank you for your question. I mean, right now, I understand the questions in the sense that it's not easy to forecast something as volatile as it has been in the last couple of quarters. And probably this, you know, what the figures that you are looking in the second quarter should mark the trend for the following quarters in terms of, you know, of the 746 or 750 million range. You know, what is most important here to understand the composition, that most of this was due to the consolidation of companies that have an important component of the distribution side, such as Instacredit, such as Resuelve, and the same in the same case as Don Carlo and AFS. That's what is the most important element here. If you combine these three, they probably amount for half of the, or probably like 60% of the total expenses come from the consolidations of these three companies.
Okay, great. And also, can you explain to me what's this intermediation results, the 69 million? I didn't quite understand that part.
Those come with a hedge. I mean, it's basically the effect of the valuation of the derivatives that we still have with the outstanding debt. Mostly the syndicated loans, that's the change in the valuation of the options that we have on the 180 million, on the $80 million that we have for the couple of syndicated loans, the Credit Suisse one and what's remain of the Barclays facility.
Okay. And also, can you help me understand on the provisioning side? I mean, it's still up. I mean, I know it's up a lot because of the acquisition. Can you break that down to me? Like, what portion of the provisioning is really organic? What portion of the provisioning is really related to the three M&A consolidation?
I mean, I would say the best way to address it, I mean, if you remember during the first quarter, the provisioning was low compared to this quarter, and actually you see a dramatic increase for that same reason. But the way we are seeing it is that we are looking at trend first on the coverage ratio that should remain in the range that it is currently at the 140 to 150, something in that range. Again, and as we have said in the past also, the most important thing comes from the fact that the asset quality remains within the same range, 2 to 3%.
Okay, that's terrific. Okay, great. I jump back into the queue. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, David.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll take our next question from German Velasco with BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys, and thanks for the call. I have two questions. The first one is related to the Cente. There has been a lot of noise recently about the issues with these teachers in focalized states such as Oaxaca, Michoacán, Guerrero. So can you tell us what is your exposure to these states, and what would be the dramatic scenario that you have seen? That
yes.
was my first question.
Okay. Hi, German. Thank you for your question. You know, when it comes to the payroll business, I mean, the best way to answer that one is that we have been in that business for 12 years. We have been in that business for 12 years already. During all this time, the teachers have played a very important role during all these times. And as Angel mentioned during the call, we have seen during these times, we have seen all sorts of changes. And the way we see this one is that it is just another challenge, such as the many challenges that we have faced in the past, right? So having said that, I mean, what is most important about that one, about the payroll business at all, in general, is that, you know, having the ability to reach for those customers and to provide the much-needed loans that no one else can is what makes us successful in that business. That's the main competitive advantage that we have in the payroll business. As for exposure that we have, we disclosed that we were very thorough in terms of the, you know, if you look at the, you know, our press release, we were very thorough in terms of the figures that we currently have and the old exposures that we have. And we believe that we have an exposure of around 1% because the combination of the, you know, all the teachers, all the customers that we serve in Guerrero, Michoacán, and Oaxaca, they all combined amount for like 3,500 customers. So that would be like the extreme case, I would say.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is with regards to the ROE trend. I understand the consolidation process that is taking the process in this year, but what can we expect for the ROE for the next years? It should be fair to say that we can expect a ROE around 20%?
No, I would say it would be higher. I mean, in short, what I can tell you about the ROE would be that, I mean, we knew from the very beginning, and actually we disclosed this one as well during our first quarter, that all the profitability metrics would be affected for this year, both the ROE and ROA. And this is mostly because you consolidated, the largest consolidation that we made was done in February, late February. So you just, you are just getting 10 months of the benefits of that transaction. That's definitely going to affect the profitability metrics for this year. And it also has to do something with the, you know, with the cost of funds of the facility that we got to acquire Instacredit. I mean, I would say that the most important part of this one is that even if we see a low ROA and a low ROE compared to the previous years for this quarter. I mean, the way we manage the business is more in the long run. And in the long run, in terms of ROE, we would expect to be above the 22%, more in the 22-24%, but more in the long run, that's probably going to be by the end of 2017. That's probably going to be where we expect to be by the end of 2017. And by the end of this year, definitely we're going to be above the 20%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Germán.
Our next question today comes from Nick Dimitriou with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi there. A lot of my questions have already been answered, but I have one left. Can you provide more color on your intangibles, particularly goodwill, considering all the acquisitions? I'm looking at the goodwill number as of year-end, and I'm trying to figure out what your tangible equity to tangible asset is. So if you can give me some color on what's the total of intangibles as of Q2 and a breakdown, how much of that is goodwill? Thank you.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, when it comes, there was a big increase in that sense for this year. I mean, the increase for this year, it was of 1.9 billion quarter to quarter, if you compare quarter to quarter. When it comes to the intangibles and the goodwill, it increased to 1.5. Most of it was due to the Instacredit transaction, which amounted for 1 billion. 1 billion for the, I mean, and that makes sense because that was the largest transaction. And all the other combined amount for the difference, which were like roughly 500 million pesos. That's what you expect to see. So if you think about the proportion of the if you look at the total equity, which amounts at the end of the first quarter is 8.2 billion, roughly, 8.8 billion, the difference would be a little bit lower than half of it.
All right, so I just want to make sure that I got it correctly. You said that the intangibles increased by about 1.9 billion altogether, right?
No, the intangibles increased by 1.5 billion. If you look at the balance sheet, you see that the increase in other assets, debt, insurance, intangibles, and others, it increased by 1.9. You can see that in our balance sheet.
Yes.
Out of that 1.5 roughly came from intangibles and goodwill. The rest is inventory for the payable business and another asset.
Got it. Excellent. Okay, I think I'm all set. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the star key followed by the digit 2. We'll take our next question from Alessandro Arland with Bank of America.
Hello, thank you for the question, Angel and Carlos. Just as a follow-up to Ernesto's previous questions, on a pro forma basis, after you consider the newly issued dollar bonds due in 2023, what percent of your debt is unhedged? I'm assuming that your debt in Mexican pesos is unhedged. That would be the first question, please.
Okay. Yeah, no, basically probably the most important is that all our U.S. dollar denominated debt is hedged. It's basically hedged, all the U.S. dollar denominated debt, except for 30 million or so that we have in Central America. That's all the, roughly, those are the figures. So it's mostly hedged. In terms of the local debt, it is, here it's not hedged. We have only like, I don't know, it's like 500 million pesos or something like that, which is fixed, not hedged, right? I don't know
okay.
if that covers your. I don't know if that covers
yeah.
your.
Yeah, and on the dollar side, when you talk about the bonds being fully hedged, you mean the principal and the coupon payments, or only the coupon payments?
No, the principal and coupon. fully hedged with a cross-currency swap.
Okay, great. And then my second question would be looking at the M&A side. Do you still expect to grow via M&A until the end of the year? And if so, what are still opportunities that you see, and what are the particular segments within your loan portfolio that you would be eager to grow inorganically? Thank you.
I mean, we have nothing on the pipeline for this year, for the rest of this year. And in terms of on a more strategic side, I would answer that one, that the inorganic growth is going to be a very important part of the company in the future, right? That should remain a very important part of the company in the future. What are the type of opportunities that we are looking? They are mostly those that do not compete with banks and that deal with the same base of customers that we do, meaning that they're underserved. That's the type of opportunities that we are looking. But probably to recap on that one is that we have nothing as for this year on the M&A side.
Perfect. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question. We'll hear next again from David Lee with Lizard Investors. Please go ahead.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys. I just want to ask a little bit more about the used car business. I understand the North America business has a much higher NPL. How do you guys think about that business over time? And just, I understand, once as we roll this forward for the next year or two, how do you guys think about the NPL for the used car business in general? And I just want to understand why the used car business in the States is so much different from your core business with such a big gap on NPL side.
Okay. Good to have you back, David.
Thank you.
Basically, I mean, I would say that the main difference between the two businesses is that in the States, you have the ability to repossess the car easily, whereas here in Mexico, you don't have that choice, roughly. So by having that facility, I mean, when you know from the beginning that at some point you will be able to repossess the car and resell it and get some money for that one, it makes a whole different business. Basically, in terms of the NPLs, these translate in terms of NPLs that you can afford higher NPLs in the business in the States, whereas in the business here in Mexico, you just have to rely on the origination and as well as on your collection abilities. But that would be like the biggest difference between the two businesses that I see. And how does this translate? Not only in terms of the NPLs, it translates also in the approval rates that you see in the two countries. They are extremely different. Here in Mexico, you all have an approval rate for those loans of like 30% or something, whereas in the States, it can be as high as 80%. And this is only due to the ability that you have to repossess the car. So what we would expect is that we haven't changed the overall guidance for NPLs for the company to the 2-3%. But in the business, the way we are looking the business in the States, it's probably going to be like close to the 3%. You know, once that you combine both of them, the business in the States and the business here, it's going to be like 3% of the in terms of NPL.
Okay. And also, I want to go back to the funding cost. I didn't quite understand. You talk about you want your businesses or your subsidiaries to fund the cost of the business on their own, right? I'm curious, why won't you want to be able to lower funding costs for let's say InstaCredit from 15% to 7%? And why isn't there a potential like that over time? Why would you want to? I mean, even though it's obviously you can lower the cost of funding pretty easily, I just want to understand that a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, probably in the case of let me give you the two examples. If you think about the business in the States, AFS. They have the ability to fund themselves locally at a lower rate than we do here in Mexico. So that would make that explains by itself. If you look at the other side, when it comes to InstaCredit, I think that one of the biggest advantages that we see in that one is that having the opportunity to fund locally and by doing so avoid all the FX risk associated with very illiquid currencies such as the ones they have over there. That's going to be that's definitely an advantage.
Okay. All right, great. Okay, thanks.
Our next question today comes from Natalia Corfield with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kang. My question is actually one follow-up on the intangibles. If I hear correctly, you have an additional $1.5 billion in intangibles in this quarter. Is that right?
Yes, roughly. Yes.
So that is
year-over-year. Yeah, it's basically year over year, 1.4, 1.5 year over year. That's the increase.
All right, because I had, as of the first quarter, that you guys had around $3 billion in intangibles.
That is correct.
So
it was a change, about 300, if you compare it to the first quarter, that came up from it grew only $150 million, roughly. It grew only $150 million compared quarter over quarter. And this is basically for the revaluation of the brand Instacredit. And basically, that would be it.
All right. So it would be just this $3 billion that I had in the first quarter plus...
That is correct.
Okay, with this $150
million.
Yes. And lastly, in your NPL ratio, the decline... Do you have the number of charge-offs that you have in this quarter?
Do we have the number of charge-offs that we have in this quarter? We do not disclose that. We do not disclose that figure, but I will send that to you personally.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Well, I think that with this, we conclude the call for this day, and thank you all for participating.
And ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's presentation. Thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect.